Thank you for your welcome, and I bring greetings from Worthing Tabernacle. Support out technology. We are continuing a look at the Lord's Prayer. And this is a prayer that Christ taught his disciples, and is an example of how we can pray. But so often we just repeat it without necessarily thinking too much about what we're saying. And today we're coming to look at Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, back in 1860, a baby was born. And the baby's name was Charles Studd. And he was born to quite a wealthy family. And he was well educated, went to Cambridge, did extremely well, was a very good cricketer, was one of the best in England, took part in the first Ashes test against Australia, and did extremely well. And for a couple of years, he was the best cricketer in this country. He then became a Christian. And he heard God's call to go to China, to give up his faith, and he was famous. He could go around the country and he was known for his cricketing, to give up all of his wealth. And we're not talking a few hundred pounds even then. In those days, he was worth thousands of pounds. And he gave it all away because God told him that was God's will. And he went on and he spent the rest of his life in missionary service in China, a bit in America, India, and ending up in the Belgian Congo. He heard God tell him what God's will was. And it cost him everything in earthly terms. But the number of people who were brought to Christ through his service was quite substantial. So, when we pray, Thy will be done, what are we saying? In one way, we are saying a prayer in a fairly general way, asking that God's will be done on earth. We know that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That God has control, ultimately, of everything, and his will be done. And we know that one day Christ will come again, and there is nothing that will stop that. But we're also praying this in a very personal way. Your will be done in my life. Now, the reading this morning used those same words. And we're looking at Christ in the garden at Gethsemane. He's coming to the end of his time on earth. He knows that he is about to be arrested, tried, convicted, crucified for things he has not done. He knows the pain and the torment he will go through. And he comes to his Father in prayer. And he says, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me.
Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Even Christ, the Son of God, knowing what God's will was, asked that God might change his mind, but accepted that if it was God's will, he would go through that punishment for us. And he went back again, having seen his disciples who, as unfortunately so often they did, they failed him. But he went back and he said again, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." The Son of God had to accept his Father's will. And it was necessary for us to be saved, for our salvation, and for the fulfillment of God's plan. But what does this all mean for us? We pray and ask that God's will is done in our lives. We need in our daily life to seek to serve God. We need to pray, we need to read his word, so that day by day we live according to his will. Now, there are those people who you do come across from time to time who take this to an absolute extreme. And they will tell you that they even seek God's will as to what they wear, what they eat, what they do down to the minutest detail. I'm not advocating that. We should know God's will, his general will, through his word, so that day by day, when we meet situations, we know what God expects of us. We know we're not to lie. We know we're not to steal. We know that we are to show love to one another. Those are things that we don't need every 2 minutes to say, "What do I do in this situation? God, help me to decide, do I show love to this person?" No, we've committed ourselves to Christ, and God's word is quite clear as to what is expected of us in our daily lives. If we are failing that, if we don't understand what God wants of us in our daily lives, we need to get back into the word. We need to read what he teaches, and then live out. And God, by his Spirit, will give us the strength and the wisdom to do that on a daily basis. But we do come across more difficult situations. Times when we may have a choice of jobs. We may have even been in a change of circumstances. We may have lost our job. We may be sick. We may be seriously ill. And it becomes much more difficult then to say to God, "Thy will be done." Imagine you live in a nice house, in a nice street. You've got enough to live on and a bit more, and then suddenly you are made redundant, or your job just disappears. What do you say to God then? So often we turn round and we complain, and we panic, and we think, "Oh, how am I going to get out of this situation? How am I going to meet my bills? How am I going to continue in the way I was?" And rather, we should turn to God and say, "What is your will in this situation? You have allowed this to happen. I know that you have a plan for me." And we need to learn to rely on him. We are saying to him in this prayer, your will be done in our life. But so often in life we say, provided your will is the same as mine. I will happily do what you want for me, God, as long as it makes me happy. But what if it's hard? God might be calling you, as he did C.T. Studd, to go into missionary work, either in this country or another country. To give up the luxuries we have in this country and go to somewhere where there is deprivation, where is there is potentially persecution. Do we say, yes, Lord? Or do we say, send somebody else? I'm sure they're better equipped than I am. They aren't quite as ill as I am. They aren't as old as I am. We can think of any number of excuses. But if we are satisfied that whatever God is telling us to do is what he's saying, we in this prayer are saying, let it happen. Let it happen in my life. Now, how do we know it's God's will? Often a bit of a get out, but also a difficult question. Because we can so easily, when it's something we would like to do, say, oh, God's told me to do this. And I don't know if you've come across it, but it does happen, particularly in Christian circles, when somebody has a pet project, has something they feel they want to do, they then say, God's told me to do it. And almost challenges you to say you're wrong. So how are we satisfied that when we get God's call, that it is his call? Prayer, Bible study, sharing with fellow Christians who you trust, and see if they are receiving the same message from God. I have a plan that actually this church should move. Should go to some new building, spend a load of money. It's a good idea. God's told me it's right. Sounds nice. Might put you in a nice place, brand new building. But is it God's will? We have to be satisfied that what we're doing is God's will. In the Bible, we do find times when people question it. We have here with Christ. Is it really what you want me to do, Father? Or is there possibly another way? Remember Gideon in Judges. He put down the fleece twice because God was asking him to do something quite enormous. And he wanted to be absolutely certain. And God didn't tell him, no, don't do it. He showed him that, yes, this really was his will. And we see Abraham with the city of Sodom, where God's plan is to destroy that city. But there's a bit of a negotiation goes on. They're just this few more people who serve you. But in the end, God's will was done. So, when we pray, thy will be done, we are asking God to show us what he wants in our lives. And we are committing that when he has shown us, we will do it. Because it's no good saying to God, you do your will in my life. But actually, I'm going to resist you at every step. I'm going to make it hard. We have to be willing to give ourselves wholeheartedly to what God wants us to do. and to do it in a way that pleases him. And we don't cut corners, we don't decide to do those bits of it that are easy and are the ones we want. It may be that God is calling us to make a change in our lives today. To go into a different ministry. Go into a ministry. Open our homes to our neighbours. To take the opportunity to share the gospel with those people we meet day by day. God will equip us to do it. And this is the amazing thing with God. He doesn't ask us to do his will and then send us out by ourselves, ill-equipped. If we remember these disciples, when they were sent out, don't take too much, don't take money, just go. And it was said like that because God would then give them what they needed. And it's another of those little tricks we have. When God calls us to do something, we want to make sure that we have everything planned out, everything provided for, everything we need before we step out. But God doesn't call us to do that. He calls us to step out in faith. In faith that he will give us all that is necessary to do his will. We come to pray. We ask that God's will be done. Are we willing to do what his will is, or are we going to resist him? That is the challenge. This prayer that we pray is actually giving to us. So often we think we're asking God to do things. But this is actually a challenge to us. Tell us your will and equip us. And we will do what you send us to do. And if we do what God wants us to do, his kingdom will grow. Here in Wilton, here in this country, if the church in this country would just listen to God's will, imagine how powerful it would be. What a light it would be proclaiming the gospel. Are we at home willing to do God's will? Starting with us individually, giving everything to him and saying, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there is no doubt that God's will be done. We see in Revelation what heaven will be like. We know now that the angels go at his bidding. Imagine a world where everyone did as God commanded. But we need to start that here in our life today. Amen. Our closing hymn. Hopefully we'll come up on the board. The Lord for the years. And we'll stand to sing.